Today we continue our study on notable verses in the Holy Bible. And what I mean by notable verses is verses that stick out, that we want to spend a little bit of time on. Today we pick up in Numbers chapter 23, verse 21. And the Word of God has this to say: He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. So we see, it says here, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. It is due to the fact that Israel enjoyed God's imputed righteousness. God's imputed righteousness. Let's turn over to the book of Romans as we talk about imputed righteousness. And we want to turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 4, in verses 1 through 8. We read this: What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath wherefore to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of man, unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And then another reference we want to look in connection with this is found in the book of Micah. Micah chapter 6. In verse number 5, the Word of God has this to say: O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Joab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Peor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Now we turn to Numbers chapter 24, in verse number 17, and we read in the Word of God, it says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Seth. Now, what stands out about this verse is the verse is messianic, with the star being Christ, the bright and morning star. Look in Revelation chapter 22 with me. In Revelation chapter 22, look and notice with me what it says in verse number 16. We read this: I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Amen. Now let's look at Numbers 35, verse 2. Numbers 35 and verse number 2, the Word of God has this to say: Command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possession cities to dwell in. And ye shall give also unto the Levites, notice what it says, suburbs for the cities round about them. You know, some say the use of that word suburbs is archaic, but there's nothing archaic about the word suburbs, is there? We use it all the time in our speaking, talking about towns and cities outside the big city. Amen. Now let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 1 Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 39. And the Word of God has this to say, "Moreover, you little ones, which you say should be a prey in your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it." And of course, in the context, it's talking about the children of those who wandered in the wilderness were going to be able to enter the land and possess it, because they were at an age where they had no knowledge between good and evil. And what is verses that it settles the question of God's mind regarding the spiritual state of children. They are innocent and unaccountable. Amen. Now let's look in the book of Romans for a moment. I want us to turn to Romans chapter 4. And when we get to Romans chapter 4, we're going to look at verse number 15. Romans 4 verse 15, the Word of God says, "Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression." So we see that children have no knowledge of the law. Amen? So they don't know the difference between good and evil. Now look in Romans chapter 5 with me. We get to Romans 5, we want to look at verse 13. The Word of God says this, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." So again, we see the children, the spiritual state of children, are innocent and unaccountable. Now, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And Deuteronomy chapter 8 in verse number 3, the Word of God says this, "And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." What stands out about this verse, if you want to notice, amen, is the word here is in italics, which we are told was not in the original. However, Jesus quotes the verse in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. And I want us to notice something there. Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus said, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." But notice, he includes the italicized word here in Matthew 4, 4. Amen? And to that. Now, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy 17, and when we get there, we want to look at verses 15 through 17. The Word of God has this to say, "Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold." So, stands out about these verses, well, in verse 15 was violated by the leaders of Israel when they said, we have no king but Caesar, in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 15. And verses 16 and 17 were violated by Solomon when he multiplied his horses and his wives. Amen. Now let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 21. And let's read down verses 1 to 9. If one be found slain in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it, lying in the field, it be not known who hath slain him. Then thy elders and thy judges shall come forth, and they shall measure unto the cities which are round about him that is slain. And it shall be that the city which is next unto the slain man, even the elders of that city shall take a heifer, which has not been wrought with, and which hath not drawn in the yoke. And the elders of that city shall bring down the heifer into a rough valley, which is neither eared nor sown, and shall strike off the heifer's neck there in the valley. And the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near. For them the Lord thy God has chosen to minister unto him, and to bless in the name of the Lord, and by their word shall every controversy and every stroke be tried. And all the elders of that city that are next unto the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer that is beheaded in the valley. And they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it. Be merciful, O Lord, unto the people of Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not innocent blood unto thy people of Israel's charge, and the blood shall be forgiven them. So shalt thou put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you, when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Now what stands out about this passage is this. This tells us is what Israel will have to do in order to properly cleanse herself from crucifying Christ. Obviously, the real forgiveness comes from God, but the sacrifice of the heifer is the ceremonial aspect. And now let's turn to Deuteronomy 22, verse number 5. It says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abominations unto the Lord thy God. Now, this verse is commonly used to teach that women should wear skirts and dresses, and that men should wear pants. Although dresses, skirts, and pants are not mentioned in the verse. As usual, the brethren place so much attention on detail that they overlook the principle. The principle is simple. Men and women are not the same, so they should not dress the same. A woman should wear that which is distinctly feminine, and a man should stay well within the bounds of masculinity. As far as women wearing pants, the issue is settled in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, and not Deuteronomy 22. Now let's look what it says here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 9. The Word of God has this, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Amen. Alrighty, now let's turn our attention to Deuteronomy chapter 24. In verse number 5, we read this. When a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business. But he shall be free at home 1 year, and shall, listen now, cheer up his wife, which he hath taken. What I want us to see from this verse is this is where we get our common expression that we use today, cheer up. Amen? Now let's look in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And we want to look at Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10. The Word of God has this to say. And he found him in a desert land, in the waste, hollowing wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. And of course, it's speaking about Israel. But again, what I want us to see here is it's from this verse that we get the expression apple of his eye that's commonly used today. Amen. In that same chapter of Deuteronomy, I want us to look at verses 31 to 33. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 31 to 33. The Word of God has this to say, "For their rock is not as our rock." Notice capital R on the rock. "Even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. The grapes are grapes of gall, their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps." Now, we want us to see here in this passage is the term their rock, their vine, their grapes, indicate that someone has a very different religion than that of the Bible, especially since their rock is spelled with a lowercase r. And our rock is spelled with a capital R. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4, the Word of God has this to say, "And all that drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock," the R is capitalized, "that followed them, and that rock," capital R again, "was Christ." See, their rock would be Pope Peter, amen, believed to be the rock of Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, and the head of the Roman Catholic Church. To go along with this heresy, they also produced their own fermented wine to use in their perversion of the Lord's Supper, the unholy mass. Hence, we read here in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 33, "Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps." Amen. Alrighty, now let's continue our study. As we now go into the book of Joshua. In the book of Joshua, let's look at verses, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And the Word of God says this, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." The thing about that stands out about this verse is this. First of all, this is a great memory verse. It also presents the Bible's only usage of the word success, which is said to be good success that comes from being faithful with God's word. Anything less is not success. Amen. Now let's travel now down through chapter 24 of Joshua. Joshua 24 and verse 15, probably a verse that you're all very familiar with. Joshua 24, verse 15, the Word of God says this, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The phrase, "as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," should be the conviction of every Christian man. The opinion of the woman, the children, or the neighbors is not to be consulted. A leader's duty is to lead. Amen and amen. Now we journey to the book of Judges, chapter 2. Judges, chapter 2, verse number 13. Notice what the Word of God has to say in Judges, chapter 2, verse 13. And it says this, "And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth." Now here we have the mention, what I want us to see here, why this stands out, we have the mention of Baal and Ashtaroth together, which is the worship of a sun god and moon goddess. Through sex and fertility rites, hence rabbits and eggs for Easter, which is born from Ishtar in Ashtaroth. The illegitimate children that were born from this religion were offered in sacrifice called passing through the fire in the Bible. And you can find that where it talks about these children passing through the fire in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 21, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10, 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 17, and many other places. Now, the name of these false gods changed from one nation to the next. And all through the centuries, we have Isis, Osiris, Nimrod, Semiramis, Baal, Diana, Molech, Aphrodite, Ishtar, Queen of Heaven, Mary, Mother Nature, so forth and so on. But it's all the same pagan idolatry. The definitive work on the subject can be found in the Two Babylons by Alexander Hyssop. I recommend you read that book. I've read it, and it's a very good study on the subject matter. Amen. Now, in Judges chapter 5, we have 31 verses. Now, what's interesting and stands about this chapter, the chapter offers the song of Deborah and Barak after their victory over the Canaanites. If you go through that, the song includes several good references to Armageddon and the second coming of Christ. Now, the mention of Seir and Edom in verse 4 have reference to the path of the second advent, which includes the area south of the Dead Sea. And to go along with this chapter, I give you Habakkuk 3 for further study, in Isaiah chapter 63, verses 1 through 6. We read in verse 5 of our chapter, Judges 5, it says, "The mountains melted, from before the Lord. The melting of the mountains of verse 5 matches the second coming prophecies of Revelation. Now, the new gods of verse 8, we read, they chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? So we see here the new gods of verse 8 are what people will be worshiping when Christ returns. Then we see the men on white asses in verse 10. Looking in verse 10 of Judges 5. Seek ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit in judgment, and walk by the way. Now the men on white asses in verse 10 point to the armies of heaven on white horses. Amen. On white horses. And we see that when the Lord comes back, if you turn to Revelation chapter 19, in verse 14, we read this, and the armies which were in heaven followed him, that's Jesus Christ, upon white horses clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now verse 12, look at verse 12 of Judges 5. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, utter a song, arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thy son of Abinoam. Now, verse 12 mentions an awakening woman leading captivity. Seems very similar to the bride of Christ going up in the rapture. Now look at verse 13. Then he made him that remaineth have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. Here we see the dominion that the saints have in verse 13 pictures our rule with Christ in the millennium. And then in verse 19, we see the Megiddo is mentioned in 19, is Armageddon. Then we see the fighting stars. In verse 20, they fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. Now, the fighting stars of verse 20 point to the war in heaven that is talked about in Revelation chapter 12 in verses 3 to 9. Then notice verse 26 what it says, Judges 5. She put forth her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer. With the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. The smiting of Sisera of verse 26 pictures the death of the Antichrist with a wound to the head. And you can see that in some cross references to this are Revelation 13, verse 3, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 13. And then we see, finally, the sun going forth in his might in verse 31, the last verse of this chapter 5 of Judges. So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord. But let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might, and the land had rest 40 years. So here we see finally the sun going forth in his might pictures Christ himself in his return. And we see that also as I give you cross references to Judges 5 verse 31, Malachi chapter 4 verse 2, in Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6. We've run out of time. Pray you join me again next time as we continue our study on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible.